Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place I know where the waters fall, where the thirsty soul can drink. There's a holy time that is set aside for the troubled mind. When your spirit falls like the gentle rain, a quiet symphony of sound, then the lame man walks and the weak man runs as we meet on holy ground. There's a table in the wilderness where the hungry come and eat, and the weary can find rest at last by the Savior's mercy seat. And when your spirit flies like a gentle dove, take away these chains that bound, then the blind man sees and the deaf man hears as we meet on holy ground. There's a place I know where the orphan child can hold a father's hand, and where the outcast and the refugee come and find their promised land. When your spirit we meet on holy ground.
Pai, em nome de Jesus, te glorificamos mais esta oportunidade que nos dás. Podemos te servir em espírito e em verdade. Venhas abençoar este programa e trazer o teu alimento ao teu povo. Abençoe todos os teus filhos e filhas que ouvirem este programa, tanto aqueles que estão ouvindo agora como aqueles que irão ouvir mais tarde. Abençoe o nosso convidado, o Augusto, abençoe o seu ministério, que ele possa trazer luz e vida. E o teu Espírito Santo para todos os teus filhos e filhas. Este é o nosso desejo, sermos instrumentos nas tuas mãos, que o teu reino seja consolidado em nossa vida, na vida de todos aqueles que chamares a tua graça. Oramos para a glória e em nome de Yeshua, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Amados, nós agradecemos pela vossa presença, pela vossa posição em ouvir este programa. Possam ser recompensados com a graça de Deus, que se juntem ao corpo espiritual de Jesus Cristo que aqui está, pois Deus tem propósitos para esta tarde, esta manhã, para aqueles que nos estão a ouvir no continente americano, de trazer discernimento, de trazer conhecimento tudo aquilo que este servo de Deus que está lutando numa área muito difícil do globo, considerada uma das áreas mais marcadas pela magia, pelo vodu, é o Triângulo das Bermudas. O irmão Augusto Pérez tem muitas experiências de campo em relação àquilo que é a evangelização destes povos, marcados pela mistura de religiões com tradições humanas. São coisas que vêm já do paganismo, anterior aos descobrimentos. E nós vamos estar a falar sobre tudo isso. O irmão está instalado ali na Flórida, mas viaja frequentemente para Porto Rico, para Cuba, para o Haiti, onde tem estabelecido missões. E nós vamos estar a partilhar tudo isso com vocês que desejam servir a Deus, que sentem o chamado pelo verdadeiro reino. Estão cansados do sistema religioso que prega outro tipo de evangelho. Aqueles que sentem o fogo do Espírito Santo chamando cada um de vocês à luta pelas almas perdidas. Fiquem connosco, nós vamos estar a dar as boas-vindas também em português, e, aliás, perdão, em inglês aos nossos irmãos. Depois do período de louvor normal, estaremos trazendo o nosso irmão Augusto Pérez. Por favor, orem por este programa para que nada do inimigo possa afetar e que possa ser abençoado, sair deste programa acrescentado pelas águas, pela vida que o Espírito Santo tem para nos trazer hoje. Receba o seu maná, em nome e para a glória de Jesus. Amém. Brothers and sisters, I hope that I can be heard well. I'm trying to improve the volume here. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for joining on this show. Just on this day, we'll bring again Brother Augusto to give us, to tell us his experience in the field on evangelism. He is fighting against the dark forces in one of the most problematic areas of this planet. He's trying to save souls in missions that he has in Honduras, in Cuba, and Puerto Rico. Frequently he travels to there to reach the souls that are on a place that is considered one of the most infested ones, on the mixing of the religions, the old traditions, on paganism. We will be talking about this deeply. We will be talking about this with a man that is one of the greatest authorities in this matter. He doesn't talk. because he heard someone talking about these things. He talks because he is there. He was taken out of the religious good gospel comfort zone system, religion system that we have in name of Jesus, to go to place missions in one of these most difficult areas in the globe. Haiti, Puerto Rico, Cuba, Honduras, all the Caribbean region is considered one of the most problematic, full of magic, voodoo, and we'll be talking about these things. This is a servant of God that I respect a lot because he loves the truth, and I know that for you that heard the first program, you are willing like me to hear this one. So please pray for this program, because I want you to deliver what comes from the table of God, not from our mind. I know that the Holy Spirit has purpose to equip the saints, to equip the true worshipers, and that's why we are here. We are here almost in the night in Portugal. You are there in the beginning of the afternoon, but we all have the same purpose, to learn from the best ones that God has provided to the body, to bring us the experience of the true gospel, the true love of God, not the love of money, not the love of the status quo, not the love of the vanity of this world, but the love of Jesus Christ, Yahushua, our Savior. May the Lord bless all. Thank you again for your presence. Please pray, as I know that the enemy will try something, but bigger is the one that is with us. We will have a period for worshiping our God, because without Him we cannot do nothing. And I know that His presence will be felt for all of us. May the Lord bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hasta allá donde raya el alba, te podré encontrar cerca como el alba estás. Desde que hasta allá todo tú lo llenas, desde donde estoy hasta las estrellas. Si te siento lejos no es porque no estás, no es porque te has ido, siempre ahí estarás. Si te siento lejos es que me escondí, me cubrí los ojos, me alejé de ti.
Yo me alejé de ti.
Siempre tú estarás, es tu promesa. No quieras nunca, me dejas siempre fiel, ahí estarás. No te olvidarás de tu palabra. Estarás por la mañana y por la noche a descansar. Tu mano me protegerá. Puedo siempre hallarte, puedo en ti confiar, puedo siempre hablarte. En la soledad siempre estás conmigo, eres el calor cuando tengo frío. Si te siento lejos no es porque no estás, no es porque te has ido, siempre ahí estarás. Si te siento lejos es que me escondí, me cubrí los ojos, me alejé de ti.
Me alejé de ti.
Siempre tú estarás, es tu promesa. No tiras nunca, me dejas siempre fiel, ahí estarás.
nunca me dejas, siempre fiel ahí estarás. No te olvidarás de tu palabra, estarás por la mañana y por la noche al descansar, tu mano me protegerá. Tu mano me sostiene, oh, tu mano me protege, tu mano me protegerá.
Escuchar así tu voz. Quiero
quiero que mi viaje seas todo el camino, seas el destino y el paisaje alrededor. Falta nada, tu presencia es mi morada, Jesús. Puedo disfrutar en ti cada momento, Jesús, mi complemento.
Jornada a disfrutar.
Quiero caminar, perder el aliento, viendo la belleza de las cosas que me das. Quiero que en mi viaje seas tú el camino, seas el destino y el paisaje alrededor.
A mi alrededor,
Jesús. Para mí no falta nada, tu presencia es mi morada, Jesús. Puedo disfrutar en ti cada momento, Jesús, mi complemento. Siempre andar, poniendo siempre la mirada en ti, Jesús, cada mañana, para jamás volver atrás, Jesús. Eres todo para mí, no falta nada, tu presencia es mi morada, Jesús.
This is your land.
Life is de cariñar de la Madre Santa. Smartani nagati schneiden.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you. We praise you for this gathering, for your harmony here. We praise you for our guests, for bringing Brother Augusto to join us this day, to help us to understand the kingdom. We praise you for our brothers and sisters. We praise you because the enemy has been defeated. We praise you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. I think that we have already our guest online. Brother Augusto, can you hear me?
Yes, hello.
Hello, brother. Can you hear me?
Yes, Brother Jose. How are you today? Good to be with you.
I'm blessed with your presence, brother. How are you? How are your family?
All is well. All is well.
Amen.
I'm really excited, really looking forward to this program. So I know that the presence of our Father and the Lord is going to be with us throughout this program. And I know that there's a lot of people that have a lot of questions. And so we'll just try be able to minister to those questions, you know, as the Lord allows. And we can engage, this topic, Brother Jose, that we talked about last time, that, you know, about the traditions of the elders and the wineskins, and, you know, this is the type of thing that we are dealing with right now. One of the things that I was thinking before, before you called for the program, is the church right now, and we, believers in Christ, we are in a time of transition. We are in a great time of transition. And I believe I touched on last time that, you know, about the ages and, when Jesus Christ came, there was a lot of turbulence. There was a lot of turbulence because, the world was transitioning from the age of the law, or from the time of the law, the law of Moses, into the new dimension, or the new age, where the grace that Jesus Christ was bringing, the church age. And this is some people call it dispensationalism. I don't use those words because I like to stick with what the Bible says. And, and all I know is that there are covenants. And that's what I like to call it. There are different covenants, and there are different times when God deals with people based on the covenants that he is operating under, and, the spirit that he's flowing. And at the time when Jesus came, the world, and the Jews were under the old covenant, on the laws of Moses. The problem was, Brother Jose, that they had deviated from deviated from the law of Moses, and they began practicing many of the teachings of the Talmud, which is basically Babylonian, which they brought from Babylon, from the captivity.
Yes.
And to these days, that is what the Jews use. They use the Talmud. The Talmud is, it's composed of the traditions of the elders. And so, last time we talked about it, how Jesus Christ, he confronted these Pharisees and Sadducees, with the traditions of the elders. And he confronted and said, you do not teach the word of God. You make the word of God of no value. You totally dismantle the word of God. You go against the word of God and teach for the word of God, the commandments of man, and it's of non-effect. It doesn't have any power, and you put burdens on people that they cannot carry, and neither they can carry nor yourselves carry or want to carry. And so, he confronted these people all the time, and we are in such a time of transition right now, Brother Jose, and every time we go through one of these times of transition from one dispensation or one age, if you will, one age, let's call that age instead of dispensation. I don't like that word anyway. Let's call it the age of grace and the age of church. We are now being transitioning to the age of the glory of God, the kingdom age, the glory of God. The last time it happened was the transitioning from the law into grace and the church age. Now we are going from that to the glory and the kingdom of God. And so we are once again in a time of turbulence. Now, since that time, since the time of when Jesus Christ came, and, you know, he was the Son of God, but not just the Son of God, he was the God-man, God manifested in the flesh. The fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily.
Mm-hmm.
When he came, he brought us a new covenant, which is the covenant of his blood. And it was a time of transition. It was a time of great turbulence. And after that happened, people need to understand that the church went through a tremendous time also of the dark, it's known as the Dark Ages, and which brought us the Holy Roman Empire. And, I'm not going to get into that too much, but that is what started, the church on its downslide and began to do away with a lot of the advancements that the apostles had brought in. They had ushered in a tremendous manifestations of the power and the authority of the kingdom of God. Now, this when the Dark Ages came, which lasted roughly over 1,200 years, it was a time of great persecution, great suffering and martyrdom for the children of God, and it took someone to bring us that reformation. Martin Luther was used of God in a great way to come against those mm-hmm. fortresses of tradition and fortresses of traditions of man and all kinds of heresies and ungodliness. And then we experience what is called the Protestant Reformation. Okay, and yes. Out of that, the Lord began to bring the church back to its original form, okay? And it has taken a long time. He had to begin bringing people, the church, back from that darkness. And, first it began as the Reformation, which is the Lutheran Reformation, the just shall live by faith. And he nailed those 96 theses in the front door of his church in Gutenberg in Germany. And then, of course, came other reformers, John Knox and many of the great men that died. They were martyred, and they died. They paid a steep price. And then, of course, the pilgrims came over to America, and they started, a brand new start here, fresh. And then many of these other denominations began to arise, like the Baptists, the Anabaptists, the Episcopalians, the Presbyterians, and then the Baptists, and each one of these movements and denominations brought us a dimension, or if you will, truths, okay, foundational teachings that had been lost through the Dark Ages,
mm-hmm.
okay. Then came the Pentecostal movement in the days of Azusa, back in the turn of the 20th century, and then people began to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and then came the healing movements in the 40s and 50s, and the 60s brought us the pastoral movement and the teaching movement, and there were many pastors and teachers that began to arise, the Lord began to raise up, and then in the 80s. And in the 70s and 80s and even the early 90s began what's called the prophetic movement. And the Lord began to raise many prophets throughout the land for the first time in a long, long time. Prophets began to be recognized. That word wasn't even used. And then in the late 90s and then in the beginning of the 21st century until now, we have been in what's called the apostolic movement. And, you know, the word apostle began to be used, apostolic began to be used. And, again, this is a term that had not been used for a long time. But what the people need to understand is that the early church began with apostles. It was an apostolic church. And that we need to begin to go back to the terms that are used in the Word of God. And we need to get away from all these other ecclesiastical terms that have been invented by man, and all these words and all these terms that all they do is confuse people. And I refuse to get trapped in those things. So one of the first things that the Lord had to teach me, Brother Jose, when he took me out into the wilderness when I was pastoring down in Miami, Florida, and for 7 years, you know, we started church. He called me out of that, and one of the first things he had to tell me was, he said, "Son, I have to strip you of all that leaven. I don't want you using terminologies of men. I don't want you using words of men, traditions of men, anything that man uses. I want you to just get rid of it. We're going to study the Word of God, and I'm going to show you. I'm going to teach you. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you the way this thing is supposed to be." So, you know, and so there were some truths that I learned along the way that were good. Not everything was bad. There were some good things. And so, you know, yeah. I kept the good and spit out the bones, everything else. But one of the things that the Lord had to teach me was that, you know, there's many of these things, Brother Jose, that people use today that even the church uses today. That is, it's traditions of man. It's just a religion. It's religious teachings and things that do not edify, things that do not bless, things that are, it's not in the Word of God, things that the early church did not practice. And so one of the things that we need to do as the Lord is transitioning us from the church age into this glorious age of the kingdom, into the glory of his presence, is we need to speak like Jesus speaks. We need to talk like he talks. We need to think like he thinks. We need to come into alignment to the Word of God. We need to come into alignment to his Spirit. And everything and anything that does not align with that, we have to be humble enough. And that is a key word. We have to be humble enough to say, you know what? This thing that I had been taught by maybe my pastor that was a very good man, I loved dearly. He taught me everything I know, but he taught me as much as he could, but, you know, there were things he just didn't teach me, and he didn't understand, you know. And so, you know, you need to understand that maybe some of these precious men or women taught you everything they could, but they didn't know everything. And the Lord is bringing much more light now, and you need to climb higher. You need to maybe let go of some of this old leaven, maybe the old wineskin, and you need to come into alignment to the Word of God, not because a brother say so, or even because I say so, or Brother Jose say so, or anyone else.
Yeah.
If I do not come to you with the Word of God from the Word, you know, from the Bible, don't even listen to what I have to say. That is how I speak. Don't even listen to what I say. But if I am telling you the truth, and I am pointing you to the Word of God, and I am bringing revelation, and let me share a little bit about that, Brother Jose, because there are some people that don't understand what that means, and they get scared. They get kind of confused when they hear the word revelation. The word revelation, really, it's not talking about something new that is out there in left field that nobody knows about, and it's not even in the Bible. That's not revelation, okay? And there's a lot of that out there, and I stay away from it. The reason I stay away
yeah.
from it is because if I cannot prove it with the Word of God, if there's no solid foundation in the Word of God to back that up, I cannot use that as a foundational teaching in the things I say or teach. And I know a lot of people may have a problem with that, But that is the way I operate. If it's not in the Word of God, and if it's not taught, and it's not even alluded to in the Word of God, you know, there's not enough there. You have to leave it aside for a while until the Father brings further revelation. And so, you know, the true meaning of revelation is to bring something that was concealed, okay, to reveal something that is concealed in the Word of God. In other words, there's things in the Word of God that have been there all along, but we have not been able to see it. But it was there, and it's still there. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes and breathes life into it, and Lord and behold, what was concealed is now revealed. So that is revelation. That is what true revelation is. And everything that we teach and we share in the kingdom of God has to be done in that fashion. It has to be in the Word. So when I speak about revelation, that is what I mean. That is what I'm talking about. Those are truths that are in the Word of God. They're there, but they're just concealed. They're just cut. I mean, people cannot see it because they're blinded to it right now. So one of the things that the Father has given me to do is to bring revelation into areas, so to help the people so that they see things that are there in the Word of God, that has been there all along, but they cannot see it. They have not been able to see it. So, you know, with the help of the Spirit and the anointing, it breaks the yokes, it breaks the shackles, it breaks we break those strongholds so that the blindfolds fall from people's eyes, that they are able to hear and understand, and they're able to see that, you know, these truths, and so that they can believe them, and they can come into alignment to these things. So, you know, this is what I believe that the crux of your program is, Brother Jose, is destroying fortresses and destroying strongholds and destroying all kinds of paradigms of the enemy. And these paradigms go all the way from the occultic, all the way from religious things, to traditions of the elders, to fruitless things that are being done in the church that have nothing to do with the kingdom of God. So all of those things are standing in the way, and they're called traditions of the elder, and they're called occultic activities. You know, even in the church, Brother Jose, there is occultic teachings that are gaining ground in the church, and we need to understand that. We need to understand that, and we need to differentiate and separate the holy from the profane, and we need to separate what is truth from what is hearsay. Go ahead.
That's true, brother. That's true. You while you were talking, you were touching so much things that I would like to people that are hearing to understand. Well, let me just start by saying, while you were making that historical background, I was feeling that the Holy Spirit was making a kind of resume in my spirit, saying, in the ancient times, people follow the traditions of the elders, okay? They believe that, and all these pagan worshippers come from this belief that when people die, the ancestors, they become gods. And so when the fallen angels appear, they teach them and they use the love of people or for their loved ones to make them worship the fallen angel, okay, by sacrifice, by just to become God, to go again to see the lost ones. Okay, this is the basic of the paganism. You can check this if our listeners go look behind all the roots of the paganism comes from the cult to the ancestors. And when Jesus came, there was a lot of mixture there Because Jesus said that the Pharisees were in the seat of Moses, but they were changing traditions, they were changing the law. And that was, this is what was happening when Jesus came. And now, after the Reformation that Luther has started, what we can see is that Reformation stopped, okay? And there was a counter attack of the fallen angelic darkness forces. And we start divinization again, men. We start making pastors year after year, century after century, we become worshiping men again. And this is a counterattack. That's what we were talking. We must come back to the roots of the church to see that there was no apostle, there was no disciple of Jesus Christ that pulled the adoration, the worshiping for themselves. The center was Christ. And we see this in these modern days. This is what we fight. I don't want people to follow Augusto Pérez. I don't want people to follow José or destroying strongholds. I want people to understand that they need to follow the God that we follow. And that is Yahushua. That's
Amen.
The only perfect man and God that we will be sure that we will have a pure destiny, a happy destiny at the end of our journey. And you see, Brother Augusto, I want you to hear comment on this. Because the tactic, you said that we fight against all kind of manipulation, and that's true. The older ones and the modern ones. Because we see that the devil is using even the Bible. He's changing Bible. All year comes a new Bible with changes. Because he knows he can change the letters. He can change the phrases of the Bible. But he cannot change the Holy Spirit. If we see, for instance, in Romans, and I want to hear to talk about this because I know you have a lot to talk about this. I am going to put here on the chat room an important verse of the Bible that has been changed. And you can confirm this by yourself if you go to a Septuaginta. If you go to a Greek, original Greek, in Romans 10:17, it talks about faith. And in our Bible, the King James Version and in Portuguese Bible from João Ferreira da Almeida, and some of them say, so belief comes of hearing, and hearing of the word of God. But in the original, and you better believe this, but check for yourself. In the original Greek, what Paul writes, it's not word of God. It's word of Christ. You know why they changed these details? Because they want people to worship Bible, because they can change Bible and they can change the words of the Bible. This is the counterattack of the devil. He wants to use Bible to make people follow men that has direction from the Bible, that they are in power in the system and they can make the others see like they see. But the focus is Christ, the words of Christ. Christ is God. And God, Jesus, didn't came to change the law. He fulfilled the law. He just changed the rituals, but the spirit of the law. We can follow the law following the simple two commandments of Jesus Christ. We don't need to kill animals. Jesus died for us. Because Christ is the higher law. Is even higher than the Moses. So when people start being stuck with Shabbat, with the eatings, with things, and they put these things beside Jesus Christ, they reduce the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They say Christ is not enough. So we must understand that if we really believe that God is Christ, Christ is God-man, we must go to the roots of the writings of the Bible. And yes, I believe that the Bible is Word of God. But Christ is the Logos, is the one who inspired man. And if we change the Bible, we are changing the spirit that has inspired this man. And the Greek translation, it says, hearing comes by the word of Christ. Our focus cannot be Bible only, because we are going to be confused by men and demons. Our focus must be, what did Jesus teach us? What was his example? Or we reduce Jesus Christ in our life, and we will end in a deception, in a modern deception. Can you comment on this, please?
Sure. Everything, Brother Jose, hinges and goes back to his presence. And
right.
The tabernacle, if we want to understand many of these teachings that the Lord brought us, we have to go back to the original plan of the tabernacle. And we need to look at
right.
the holy place. In the holy place, when the priest, of course, the priest, the Levitical high priest, he entered the gate and he went into the outer court. Of course, in the outer court was the tabernacle, the brazen altar, and he was the brazen laver. That is where the sacrifices were made, and the high priest washed, his hands, from the blood of the goats and oxen and lambs that he had killed. Sacrifice.
Yeah.
And then he went through the other gate, into the holy place, and which was called, there were three gates. The three gates, the gate to enter the outer court, the gate to enter the holy place, and then the gate to enter the, which was a curtain, the Holy of Holies. And that first gate was called the Way. And that was, the people had to push their way through there. That was the way into the tabernacle. Then the other entrance into the holy place was called the Truth. And then the other third entrance into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God dwelt, was the Life. And that is why Jesus Christ said, I am the Way, Truth, and Life. But let's focus on the holy place. In the holy place, there was a candle stick with seven candles lit. Oil flowed through the arms of that candle of the, which called the menorah, and then
mm-hmm.
You had the other side, the table with the 12 loaves of unleavened bread, and then you had the altar of incense right there before the curtain to enter into the Holy of Holies. Now, let's concentrate then on the menorah, on the golden candlestick. They had seven candlesticks, okay? And I believe it represents the seven spirits of God. The seven spirits of God. And, there's a scripture in the Bible that talks about the seven spirits of God. And we need to understand this because this is going to shed a lot of light on the book of Revelation, when the Lord Jesus Christ, talks to the people and to the seven churches in Asia Minor. I mean, there's a lot there that the people need to understand. And we're going to touch on it. We're going to read about it. If we read that book, a scripture in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, it says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, verse 2, and the spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Okay? Those are the seven spirits of God. The spirit of the Lord, spirit of wisdom, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, and the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Okay? Those are the seven spirits of God. Now, if we go back to the, to Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. You read there and it says, You know, when the Lord was talking to the church, one of the churches there that church in chapter 2 was the church of Ephesus, okay, which was one of the better churches. And he talks about, you know, he says to them, I know your labor, I know your patience, I know how you cannot bear them that do evil. I know how you have tried them, who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and have endured and have patience for my name's sake, have labored and not fainted. And then he said, but nevertheless I have something against you, because you have left your first love. And then he says, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and I will remove your lampstand out of its place, except you repent. Okay? Now, pay attention to this, because there's a lot here. And then, you know, when he says that he's going to remove that lampstand out of its place unless they repent, you know, people need to understand that there is such a thing as a lampstand that is, you know, in the congregations where people meet, in the church. And, you know, this is symbolic of that lampstand that was in the holy place. Now, what happens is when you remove a lampstand from a church or from a group, or even from a person's life, what happens to them? Well, there's no light.
There's darkness.
There's darkness. Right. And you see, when there is no light and there's no darkness, you see, there is a lot of these other things that we were talking about, too. There's going to be none of the seven spirit of God. And this is what has happened to this country, Brother Jose. This is what has happened to this country. The Lord has, I'm talking about the United States, and there are many other countries too. The Lord has literally removed the lampstand, the golden candlestick, from the midst of the people here. And because watch what the seven spirits of the Lord deal with, okay? The seven spirits of the Lord is the spirit of wisdom. Now, if you remove wisdom from the leadership of a country, Brother Jose, what is going to happen to that, to those leaders and to the people? Where, I mean, there is no wisdom. There is no wisdom. How are they going to lead efficiently? A leader that has no wisdom, and wisdom comes from God. All wisdom comes from the Father. So that is one of the seven spirits, is the spirit of wisdom. The other one is the spirit of understanding. That means the ability to comprehend and the ability to understand things. There is a blindness that has come upon the church, that has come upon the leadership here in this nation and many parts of the world. People cannot see where they're going. Jesus Christ, Yahushua, said, if a blind lead the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. How can a blind lead the blind? You see? Because a blind leads the blind when the lampstick has been removed. If you remove the lampstick from a church, if you remove that lampstand from a country, if you remove that lampstand from a ministry, they lose their way. They don't know where they're going because they cannot see. Because the spirit of understanding is part of that, you know, of what is in the seven golden candlesticks. The spirit of wisdom. So there's no more any divine wisdom. There is no more understanding because that candlestick has been removed. The spirit of counsel. See, how can those people counsel? How can they lead anyone if the golden candlestick has been removed? The spirit of might. There is no might in the church today in America and many parts of the world. There's no signs, no wonders, no miracles, no healings. There's no prophecies. There's no divine revelation. There's no dreams and visions. There's none of these things. There's no supernatural manifestations of the kingdom of God. Because one of the attributes of the seven golden candlesticks, one of the seven spirits is the spirit of might. So there is no power. There is no dunamis there. There is no dunamis. Okay? And then is the spirit of knowledge. Well, again, my people perish for lack of knowledge. So, you know, one of the seven spirits of the Lord and the golden lampstand is the spirit of knowledge. And then the last one, and which I believe is probably the most important one, is the fear of the Lord. And when there is no fear of, when the people lose the fear of God, Brother Jose, that's it. See, the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says the beginning of wisdom, Brother Jose, is the fear of the Lord. When there is no longer fear of the Lord, there's going to be no wisdom. Wisdom is going to be gone, because that is the foundation of wisdom. Without the fear of God, there's going to be no wisdom. Show me a person that has no fear of God, and I will show you a person that is a fool, has no wisdom.
Right.
And that is, by the way, it's not my word. That is what the Word of God calls people that have no wisdom. It calls them fools. And then, of course, even the Messiah himself, Jesus Christ, he spoke about the 10 virgins. 5 were foolish. Those are the Messiah's words. 5 were foolish, and 5 were wise. Now, notice what the wise ones did that the foolish ones did not do. The wise ones put oil in their lamps. The oil is a type and shadow of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God. And so they put oil in their lamps, while the foolish ones did not. They were foolhardy. They thought they can probably get away without it. They preferred watching the TV, being involved in the world, going shopping, going this, and just eating and indulging and all these other things. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with eating. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you keep everything in perspective and everything in moderation. The Lord called us to do everything in moderation. And sometimes that is why he calls us into fasting, so that we can be weaned out of these things, so that they do not become idols in our lives. It's not a fact that...
Right.
You know, it's not the fact that eating is a sin, or, you know, or going out and buying something you need is a sin, or even watching, if you watch a news, something on TV that, or something you want to watch that's not a sin. It's the fact that things can become idols to people, and they can supplant the presence of God. They can supplant the coming into him in prayer. They can supplant his substance. When he wants to become our substance, he wants to become our life. He wants to be everything to us. And so whenever any of these things supplants him, it's what the Bible calls an idol. It's what the Bible calls a high place. And there's a lot of Christians that have high places in their lives. That means they have idols. They have things that have supplanted God, that have supplanted the kingdom of God, that have supplanted a love for him, a love for the presence of God, that they have supplanted the love for his kingdom and for his people and for these kinds of things. That has been supplanted by worldly things and worldly tastes. And so this is what I'm talking about. So I hope the people out there listen. But if we go back, Brother Jose, if we go back to the book of Revelation, I want the people to see this, because this is very, very powerful. Remember there in chapter 2, verse 6, Revelation, he was telling the church of Ephesus that if they did not repent, he would come and remove the lampstand out of its place. You see, and this is why I've been preaching repentance for so long, Brother Jose, and I know you have too, and many others out there, because this is the only way that the Lord will bring restoration back to his people. Otherwise, he will remove your lampstand, and you will be left in the dark. You will not know where you're going. And if you're following a leader whom the Lord has removed his lampstand from the church and from that ministry,
right,
you're both going to follow in the ditch. You're both going to follow, and you're going to break your neck, because it's like the blind leading the blind. They don't know where they're going. How can they lead someone? They don't know where they're going. And so
right.
In verse 6, listen to what he says in verse 6, Revelation chapter 2. He says, but this you have, okay, and then he commends them. This is something you have that I commend and I like. He says, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, let's study that word of the Nicolaitans, because this is a mouthful right there. Today, it doesn't make sense to us when we read that word, Nicolaitans. Well, I don't know what that is. But why did the Lord hate that? Why did he mention that? He mentioned that fact that he hated. Now, this is a pretty strong word. He hated, okay? That is, the word there is very strong. It's the word miseo in the Greek, which means to detest, to abhor, okay? It's to hate. I mean, it's hateful in the eyes of God. And he says the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Now, the Nicolaitans were adherent of Saint Nicholas. Now, this is where the word, Santa Claus comes from, you know, Saint Nicholas, Santa Claus. But it's much more than a man with a white beard and red suit bringing gifts to children that is imaginary and fake, that was instituted in December 25th that, you know, the Catholic Church made it up to, you know, as the birth of Jesus Christ, which is totally nonsense. Because we all know, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, we all know the Messiah was not born on December 25th. He was born in the fall. Probably, my opinion was probably during the feast either of Tabernacles or the feast of Rosh Hashanah, of Trumpets. One of those two, probably Tabernacles, and which falls around September, October, somewhere around there. It changes every year. And, you know, that is when the Messiah was born, because the shepherds do not shepherd the sheep in the winter. Now, who was the one that was born in December 25th? Well, it was none other than Tammuz, okay, which is, again, that's a whole new story there, and I don't have time to get into, but it's totally occultic.
It's Mithra, right?
It goes back to Semiramis. It goes back to... Yeah, it goes back to Nimrod, it goes back to Ishtar, it goes back to all of them, you know. Whenever people see that in many countries, it's not just in America, in many countries, you have that there in Portugal, also, Brother Jose, and it's in Brazil, and it's in Cuba, it's everywhere, and Africa, you have many people worship a woman with a little baby, and they call it the Madonna. In Cuba, they call it the Caridad del Cobre. In every country, they call it by a different name, but it's the same entity. It's the same entity. It's Ishtar with a baby. Okay, Semiramis, Ishtar is all different names throughout different cultures for the mother of Tammuz. Okay, the mother of Tammuz, or again, these entities have many, many names. Nimrod, Baal, I mean, they're all the same. They're just different names for different cultures. And so...
In Mexico, they even call him Lady Death, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Guadalupe, they call it... In Mexico, they call it Guadalupe. La Virgen de la Guadalupe. And, you know, each country has its own name, but it's the same entity. That's not Virgin Mary, and that's not baby Jesus. People need to understand that.
Yes, yeah. Brother. I don't know if you want to make a break.
We can take a couple of minute break.
Yes, because I think that there's a lot of information that we have already put on the table. But I would like to emphasize this, brother. I don't know what the Bible of the other says, but my Bible says that we should not judge each other for the food that we eat, for the days that we keep. I don't consider myself more holy than those that like to keep the Sabbath, that those that don't eat pork. I don't eat pork because I think it's a bad meat for me. But if I have nothing else to eat, I will eat it, okay? So I try to avoid, but not for a religious thing, not because in the Bible. Because I think if God had written there, maybe it was because we should try to avoid this. But I don't consider myself the only one that is completely right. I love my brothers that keep the Sabbath. What I hate is when they come and say they are better than us because they keep the Sabbath and we don't keep it in the terms that they keep. They don't work, okay? Well, this is the problem. My Bible says that we should not judge each other for the tradition, for the rituals, for the logistical things of the law. If I keep my Sabbath and Sunday and Monday in the spirit of the Sabbath, that is, it's a day for the Lord. It's the day for the will of the Lord, for the kingdom of God. And in Jesus, that is the higher law than the Mosaic law. All days are days of the Lord. All days are Sabbath, because we must do everything thinking for the good of the kingdom, even if we have to work to save lives. Because I have proofs in my life that I was used by God in the McDonald's, in my early beginnings of following Jesus Christ, working on a Sabbath to speak to a brother about Jesus Christ. And if I was not obeying God, working there on a Sabbath, that guy would never be what he is today. He is a follower of Jesus Christ because I obey God. So I have proofs that we can be serving God, working on a Sabbath, if we are serving, working for the kingdom of God, to bring food for other children of God. So please don't come to judge me because I don't, because I work on Sabbath.
Well, let me share this real quick, Brother Jose, you know, and put that to rest, because, you know, we answer that question on our website, you know, and you know, it's Grace, you know, it's Grace Faith Sabbath, and, you know, and we touched on that, and we taught on that, because there's a lot of confusion, and I agree with you. You know, the Sabbath was changed for Sunday by the Catholic Church, and, you know, if somebody wants to keep the Sabbath on the Saturday, and that's fine. But the problem comes when, you know, when they put too much emphasis on that, and they try to make that kind of a foundational doctrine, and anybody that does not do it is not saved. Is, you know, it's not in their circle of, if you will, of friends. And I show a lot of scriptures in the Bible where, you know, Jesus Christ, Yahushua himself said, you know, many times, one greater than the Sabbath is here, you know, because they continually pursued him and persecuted him, because him and his disciples, you know, they healed the sick on the Sabbath, they raised the dead in the Sabbath, and they worked in the Sabbath. And so, you know, they kept asking him, like in Mark, 11:28, they said, by what authority do you do these things? Who gave you this authority? You know, and in Mark 2, verse 23 and 28, you know, when he was going through the cornfields on the Sabbath day and they were eating, the Pharisees came to him and said, behold, why did they do on the Sabbath day which is not lawful? And then Jesus Christ answered and said, have you not read what David did when he had need and was hungered, he and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the showbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priests, and gave also to them which were with him. And then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And, you know, what he was basically telling these people is that the Sabbath was made for men so that people could come on one day of the week to worship God, okay? But, you know, Sabbath was made for men, but man was not made for the Sabbath. Man was not made so that he, you know, he could obey the Sabbath. That's not the whole, the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was right. To bring men, people, to the understanding that you have to give time to the Lord at least one time a week. That day, that one day a week was designated as the Sabbath. Now, I personally, Brother Jose, I serve the Lord every single day of the week. I spend time with him every single day of the week. I try to spend time with him and the Sabbath as well. But these kinds of people that are legalistic and, you know, they are very, very, you know, traditional, and they stick to it. They're stickler to it. If you do not keep that one day a week, you know, from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, if you don't keep that, you know, holy, and you keep that for the Lord, then you are not keeping the commandments, and therefore you are you know, out of order, and you are not you are in sin, and blah blah blah, and all that. Okay, so this is all what you know what you're dealing with. This is what you're talking about, and I explain all of that in that page, in that answer. You know, they persecuted Jesus. These elders, these Pharisees and Sadducees, they persecuted Jesus. Mm-hmm. They wanted to kill him because they did not wash their hands before they ate. All this were traditions of the elders. This is all that was. Traditions and more traditions. And, you know, Jesus came to set the captives free. He came to preach the gospel. He came to heal the sick. He came to confront the powers of darkness. And then, for example, in John chapter 9, verse 14 through 16, he says, and on the Sabbath day, it says specifically, okay, it's you know, why does it say specifically in the Bible, on the Sabbath day? You know, it's almost like it's sticking the finger in the eyes of these hypocrites. It's like saying, here you go. Look, in the Sabbath day, when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes, and then again said the Pharisees who asked him, how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay in my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. You see? Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So what this means, basically, you know, in a nutshell, what Jesus Christ, Yeshua, was trying to tell these people, okay, was that he placed a higher emphasis on helping people than on keeping the law or that keeping the Sabbath. He placed a higher purpose on helping people, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, preaching the gospel, saving sinners. He placed a much higher emphasis on that than on keeping the Sabbath for keeping the Sabbath's sake. And he placed a higher emphasis on doing the right thing rather than just trying to keep the Sabbath. Because people, when you just try to keep a law or keep a commandment just for the sake of keeping a commandment, you know, and not be for the right reasons, this is going to lead you down the path of legalism. This is not the way you need to look at these things. You keep the commandments and you keep these things because you love God with all of your heart and you love the people with all of your heart. Once you start doing that, you won't even have to look at the commandments anymore. You won't even have to look at the tablet of commandments because you will keep them automatically. If you love the Lord with all of your heart, you will keep the first four commandments automatically, hands down. You won't even have to look at that commandments. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, you will keep the remaining six commandments. You won't even have to look at them because you love those people. You follow? You love those people. You're not going to lie to somebody because the love of God lives within you. You're not going to look at someone's wife with lust because you love that person and you love the Lord. You want to you want to live for him. You're not going to do these ungodly things because you want to honor your Heavenly Father, and you walk in love, and you walk in obedience to him. So, you know, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, what he was trying to teach the people. And that's why he said the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. And so Each day should be an expression of thanksgiving and praise to our Creator and Savior. The Sabbath was never meant, Brother Jose, to become a strict, religious, empty ritual that a believer has to keep or he comes into condemnation. That was not the purpose of establishing the Sabbath. Praise God.
In short words, what you said, that Jesus put the Sabbath on his right place, because Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and not the Sabbath is Lord of Jesus Christ, okay? And for you guys that like to keep the Sabbath, I respect you. But please, if you want me to believe that you are following Jesus Christ, stop condemning me and my brothers and sisters for not keeping the Sabbath like you keep, for not speaking Yahushua instead of Jesus Christ. Stop hating Paul, because only thing you are showing to us is that you are a fake Christian, okay? You really don't believe in all the Bible. You just believe in the Old Testament. And when you start judging me, when you start judging Augusto, you are just doing the will of the devil. You are returning to the paganism, okay? You are being in darkness. God has already started putting down your light. And if you don't repent, and if you don't put away that spirit of pride, you will be without light. You will be like that church that Brother Augusto was saying. You will follow the blind one, the Lord of Ahau, the blind one. That's the one who is putting the law, the rituals, in front of Jesus Christ for you to not see how easy it is to follow the law, the spiritual law of God, of Moses, that Jesus has
fulfilled. Let me share, because as you were speaking, Brother Jose, something else came to light. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden." Now listen to what he says. "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Okay? Now, when you look at that word there, rest, okay, that's the same word that is used for Sabbath. You know, it's Sabbath is supposed to bring you to rest. Okay? Now, what Jesus Christ basically was telling the people is, "I am the Sabbath. I am the rest. I am your rest." You see, and if you keep reading there throughout the New Testament, people, throughout the New Testament, the Old Testament is a shadow of things to come, of the substance that was going to come. It's a shadow of the substance. You follow what I'm saying? When Jesus Christ, Yeshua, came, he is the substance that fulfilled all the types and shadow that were in the Old Testament. That's why the tabernacle and all the animal sacrifices and all these things in the tabernacle, they were done away with on the earth, because Jesus Christ fulfilled them to the T. He fulfilled everything. Jesus Christ was the brazen altar. He was the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ in the brazen laver, the wash, you know, Jesus Christ is the one that washes us from all sin. He is the light, the golden candlestick. He is the light. He said it. "I am the light that has come into the world." He is also the in the table of showbread. He said, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven." Okay, and in the altar of incense, he is, okay, the one that receives worship. He's standing in the tabernacle of heaven, receiving all our prayers and worship, okay, to the Father, okay? And then in the Holy of Holies, in the very, very holy place of God, that symbolizes the Holy Spirit, the Shekinah, the very presence of God that comes inside of us when we are born again. That's why the veil of the temple, okay, was rent in twain from top to bottom. And he came in the day of Pentecost. We now are the tabernacle. We are the tabernacle. We carry the glory of God inside of us. It's no longer an ark. You see, and all these things were types and shadows. And if the people do not understand this, they will be caught up in rituals and legalisms, and you know, and putting smoke in the churches, you know, with the priest goes and he puts smoke in the church and sprinkles, you know, holy water on the people, and you know, all these things were types and shadows in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it's different.
They are even making copies of the Ark of the Covenant, you see. There is a church in Brazil that has made a new temple of Solomon in São Paulo. There's a big temple there, like the Temple of Solomon, and a copy of the Ark. Can you see this? But I want to emphasize this, Brother Augusto. I want you to make you rest a little bit. There was no Sabbath. There was no tithing. There was no porks, no sheep, no cows that have teared apart the vein of the Holy of Holies. It was the blood of Jesus Christ. It was the death of Jesus Christ who made that miracle. And if you don't believe in this with all your heart, and if you are not compromised with this sacrifice 100%, you are in danger, my brother and sister. When you put Sabbath and tithings and rituals in the same place of Jesus Christ, you cannot enter the Holy of Holies with that. Remember this. There was a lot of years people living under the law, and the veil was there. Only Jesus' blood teared down that veil. You want to stay outside? It's your choice. But you will not deceive me. My salvation comes from the blood and the instruction and the example of life and the words of Yahushua Jesus Christ. If you don't understand, that's not my problem. I love you if you keep your Shabbat. I love if you do your tithings without law. But I don't love you when you think you are better than me. Because what you are saying is that Jesus is not enough for you. And I cannot walk beside you, because you are going to be deceived at the end of your journey. Brother Augusto, I will be back. We are still fighting modern deceptions, modern traditions that are coming with another word, but are the same entities that they were fighting against Paul. They were fighting against Peter in the beginning. So it's important for people to understand that there is a remnant that is like that leper. That even when Jesus said to that 10 lepers, they were cured, go and do your ritual in the temple. Only one returned to Jesus Christ. And only this one received that word from the God made man. Your faith saved you. The others, they stayed in the temple, and they didn't hear this word of Yahushua. Your faith has saved. Okay, only one returned to follow him. The others, they stay in the rituals. I am going to keep following my master. Okay, Brother Augusto, we'll be right back in a 4-minute break. Just rest, please.
Like one before you.
Amen. Glory to God. We are going to enter now to a phase that we have to be vigilant 24 hours a day. Cannot rest in going to church and then, okay, I made my ritual. Now God is watching over me. No. Those that are on the field, those that are on the front lines of this war, they know that they can be tricked by a fallen angel, by an evil spirit at any moment. We must be with the discernment 24 hours a day. There is a question, Brother Augusto, here on chat room. Someone who had made a mission on Honduras, and they offered some kind of present that was kind of tradition there, something connected with worshiping death, and they offer because they were keeping that tradition on the church, okay? And she asked, the sister of us, she asked, she brought this thing home and she felt that she need to destroy this thing because it was something that could have some kind of curse. And she asked me if it is okay or doing this. I said that I will ask it for you. So Brother Augusto, I know that you have a lot of to teach us about these things because on that place that you are installed, there is a lot of bad things, mixing religions with Catholicism and voodoo and things like this. So please give us your insight about how to people that are on the field, they must deal with this kind of...
Well, yes, Brother Jose, you know, I grew up in Cuba when I was about 12 years old. And there was a lot of idolatry there. And even in Miami, where I lived for 26 years, you know, I have seen this. I have seen the deaths of Satan. They worship idols. They put little statues outside their homes. You know, they even collect human hair to put on those statues, and they offer apples and fruit and cigars and wine and all kinds of things to these idols. And they do even some of them go into light witchcraft, you know, and brujeria, which is, you know, they kill chickens and, you know, drink the blood of chickens, or even they even go as far as killing goats. That is the light brujeria, you know, it's not as heavy as Satanism. But, you know, these are all kinds of darkness. This is all darkness. There's different levels of darkness, but it's all darkness. And, you know, many of these things, I lived in them. I witnessed it. In our church, we had a lot of ex-brujeros and idolaters. And, you know, I ministered to this in family. I went to their homes and taught them a home Bible study. And one of the members of the house had a whole room full of these idols, and I taught her. I taught her the Word of God, what the Word of God said, that thou shalt have no idols before you. You know, honor God the Almighty, love God with all your mind, all your soul, and all your heart. He is all you need. You don't need these idols. You don't need to go through these things to get to God. The only mediator between God and man is the Christ, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And you know, people need to know that. They don't need to go through Mary. They don't need to go through a brujero or a priest or a, you know, or any of these things, you know, the idols that, you know, so that you get, you know, forgiveness and that, you know, the wrath of God doesn't fall on you. You don't need that. We have the righteous advocate of the right with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He maketh intercessions for us. And so you have to understand these things. The only way that you're going to fight darkness is with light. That means the truth.
Right.
That means knowledge. That means wisdom. If you don't have understanding, if you don't have knowledge, if you don't have truth, how are you going to fight darkness? You cannot fight darkness with darkness. And this is the problem that we have today. There's a lot of people trying to fight darkness with darkness. You cannot fight darkness with darkness. This is a spiritual war, and you have to fight it with the weapons of our warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And so this is what we're doing tonight, this day. We're pulling down strongholds of darkness. And this people that I was teaching, when she received the truth, she said she wanted to get rid of all these things. And so I helped her. We went into the room and we collected all them idols and we put them in the bag. And we went outside and I smashed it all with a hammer. And then I took it to the dumpster and dumped it. I have done this a lot. There was another man that lived across my dad. You know, he was a good man. He was a Catholic man, and he had this little altar set up in his home, you know, where with his idol, and he lit candles to it, and he, you know, pray to it, and all these things. So, I gave him a little track one time, and I told him about, you know, being baptized in water and being baptized in the Holy Ghost, and well, make a long story short, one day he comes up to me. I was sitting there having breakfast in my dad's home, and he's in Miami, and he comes up to me and says, "Augusto," he says, he called me Pastor. He said, "Pastor, I want you to baptize me." And I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Yeah, I want you to baptize me." He says, "And by the way, the Holy Spirit that you talked about in that pamphlet you gave me," he says, "I want that too." I said, "Okay." I said, "When do you want to get baptized?" And he said, "Right now." I said, "Okay." So I talked to this sister that lived on the second floor. She was a Christian. And I said to her, "I need a favor from you. Could you please, could we please use your bathtub? And, and we can fill it with warm water to baptize this man." And he also wanted his wife to be baptized. Well, make a long story short, I baptized him and then his wife. When he came out of the water, Brother Jose, he just came out and he didn't know what to say. All he could say was, "This is wonderful. This is wonderful. I didn't know this was this way. I didn't know this was so wonderful. This is great. This is wonderful," in Spanish. And then I baptized his wife. Both of them received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Both of them spoke in tongues. I mean, I had never told them about it. I had never, said anything to them about it. And when the power of God came on them, I baptized them right there in the bathtub. I told them, "Worship the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." And they began to worship him. Boom, the Father filled them with the Holy Ghost. And the Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost. They came out of the water speaking in tongues. Well, they went down back to their house. Okay, now listen to this. That place where he had that altar and that statue, the ceiling collapsed. The ceiling above that idol collapsed. And it was all through the floor. It was all over the floor. And he came to me and said, Pastor, you need to see this. What happened in my house? As you were baptizing me, look what happened." When I went in there, sure enough, the ceiling over in the room where these statues and these idols were, it collapsed, Brother Jose. That was warfare. There was warfare going on in there. And that family was set free. Was set free by the power of God. They were born again, saved. And so what I'm trying to tell the people is there is warfare for your soul. The enemy is wanting your soul. He wants your life. He wants your loved ones. And he's going to try to deceive you with darkness, with seducing spirits. He's going to try to keep you in the bound with religion. He's going to try to keep you bound with the traditions of man, the traditions of the elders. He's going to try to keep you bound with fear. If you leave the church, you're going to go to hell. If you don't do this, you're going to be cursed. If you do this, that's the same tactic that the elders, told Jesus and told all those people back in the days of the Messiah. You know, if you follow the Messiah, if you follow the teachings of that man, you know, we are going to kick you out of the synagogue. And we are going to, we're going to take your name off our books, and you're condemned to hell. Because if you're not a member of our synagogue, you're not part of the church. You're not part of the synagogue. It's the same today. Some people leave a church today because they're dead and plucked up by the roots. there's no candlestick there. There's no presence of God there. And they leave that church, and the pastor and the people of that church immediately start persecuting the person. Oh, you are not saved. You know, you backslid. You've gone to hell, you know. And this is the same thing we see again all over the place. And the people need to break. They need to break that status quo. The people need to understand that we do not serve a religion. We do not serve a denomination. We do not serve traditions of man. We serve, okay, we serve the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ, Yahushua HaMashiach, the Messiah, and only him will we serve. And we will not listen to anything that is not aligned with the Word of God. And we will check everything with the Word of God. We will check everything that has to align with the Word of God. And he has to sit well with our spirit. You know, in the early church, Brother Jose, whenever the apostles prayed, and, you know, they got together and prayed, the Holy Ghost came in there and shook the place. It just shook it. And then they spoke and said, it seems good to us and to the Holy Ghost to do this thing.
Yes.
You know, we need to get back to that time when we pray, and the place where we pray, it's shaken by the power of God. And we need to get back to the place where we talk and we pray and we say, it is pleasing to us, and we, you know, it seems good to us and to the Holy Ghost. You know, we need to get back to those places. We need to get back to the beginning, to that apostolic church, because this is where the Lord is bringing us. And I know we only have a few minutes, but Brother Jose, we are heading to a reformation. And like Saddam Hussein used to say, this is the mother of reformations. This is going to be the mother of reformations. This is going to go beyond what happened with Martin Luther. I mean, this is going to be earth-shaking. This is not just going to be a revival. A lot of people think that what is coming is just a revival. No. It's beyond a revival. A revival may come through the Reformation, but it is not a revival that I see coming. It is a Reformation.
Amen.
Whenever we see a Reformation, it's different than a revival. When a Reformation comes, it shakes the foundations of the established church. It just shakes it. It shakes the very foundations. It shakes everything about that church. It collapses. It's just like when the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua, when he brought that, you know, when he brought the new covenant, that was a Reformation. That was a massive realignment, a massive Reformation. And he had to pay the price for it with his own life. You know, he came as the Lamb of God. And, you know, he had to do that in order to accomplish this covenant. And I understand that, and people understand that. And all his apostles were martyred except John. And, you know, many of the other disciples that came after that, the early church fathers, were martyred because of this Reformation. And then during the Dark Ages, many others were martyred because of what they preached and taught. And the persecution that is coming upon the church, Brother Jose, and you probably know this already, is going to come from these elders of established churches, these pastors, these preachers, these people that move around in the religious circles. They are the ones that are going to come against us. It's not going to be the government. The government may eventually hook up with them and sanction, like in the days of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, remember? Pontius Pilate, he pulled the trigger, okay? He was the one that executed the Messiah, but it was the religious leaders of his days the ones that you know, brought him forth, the ones that betrayed him, the ones that, you know, brought him to Pontius Pilate. You know, it was them. It was them that persecuted him, and he did it to pacify them because he didn't want trouble with the Jews. So, you know, this is the way I see it coming. The persecution is here. is upon us. It's going to get fierce, and it's going to come. It's already beginning. And
amen.
We see the movement. We see the movement, and I tell the people, do not be afraid. Just be strong in the Lord. Stay close to the Lord, and get full of Him. Because this thing, it's going to be a storm. It's going to shake the foundations of everything that people know. Even people that think that they're, even people, Brother Jose, that think that they are right, there's going to be some things in them that are going to be shaken. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So the only things that remain are those that belong in the kingdom of God.
That's true, brother. And we are ending in time here. I want to emphasize the site of Brother Augusto. It's theappearanceministries.com. Please check. Brother Augusto, we will be in touch. Maybe we will have opportunities later again to join forces, because I want to thank you for coming. It's a pleasure for me to join forces with you. I want to just to warn our brothers and sisters, and even Augusto, that what Brother Augusto is saying is already happening. There's a lot of counterattacks from these ministries and these ministries that are gathering with the dark forces of the world, like government. There's a lot of mind wars being now done. They are coming to our groups, and they are taking people from there. They are even doing some fake Christian programs in the same schedule that our programs are being done, because they are being paid to produce fear, in our spirits. And you can check what fruits you gather when you hear these programs. Please be smart, because the enemy is cunning. I want to warn you, Brother Augusto, check what alliance you are doing there, because I am checking my alliance here. Not all that say they are serving Christ, they are really serving. They are infiltrating, and they are deceiving us, because they want to stop the voice of the Holy Spirit. They are
producing fear.
They have much fear, and they don't give solution, the right solution. And I am saying this because the servants of Christ, they don't hide their faces. Okay?
That's right.
Start by checking if the people they are preaching gospel, they are hiding their own faces. I don't hide my face. Brother Augusto don't hide his face. Brother Doug and Joe Hagman, they don't hide their faces. Steve Quayle don't hide their faces. So watch what you hear and see the trees by their fruits. Okay? May the Lord bless everybody, Brother Augusto. Thank you again. Watch, because they are surrounding your program also. Okay? Be careful, because they come like Christians, but they are wolves. Okay? I don't say more than this. Just check who gives this face for the kingdom. God bless you, Brother Augusto, and we'll keep in touch, okay?
God bless you, Brother Jose. Thank you for having me once again. We'll be in touch.
Okay, we will be in touch. Bye-bye. My sisters and brothers, thank you for hearing this. Careful, check the fruits, and always keep your eyes in Jesus Christ. Amen.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Woo! To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power.
Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power.
There's an all.